If you would turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. What a powerful reminder of the gospel. The gospel of grace and mercy that's only found in Christ. We gather here on Mother's Day and we make much of mothers. There is this whole idea in the context of the church that you shouldn't make much of mothers this Mother's Day because that leaves people out and it's a hard day. But that's what the gospel is for. That's what the gospel reminds all of us, no matter our situation, no matter the difficulty that we go through. Motherhood is hard. There's pain, there's difficulty, there's disappointment that surrounds it all in every situation. And yet the point of motherhood in the Bible is God uses that all for His purpose to crush the head of the serpent. And so on a day like today, it is right and it is good to look at moms and be reminded of the glory of Christ. To be reminded of the way in which God fulfills His promise, His ancient promise that He made to a snake and said, "Your head will be crushed by a seed born of woman." And we sit in this room today, in this warehouse, and we are reminded that that has been fulfilled in Christ. And we are reminded today as we hear the mother of Jesus sing to us from Holy Scripture. If you would stand in reverence to the reading of God's perfect word, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to specifically look at 46 and on, but we're going to begin reading today in verse 39, Luke chapter 1. Hear the word of Christ. Hear the word of God to us. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel. In remembrance of His mercy, He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned her to her home. Let's pray. Oh God, as we are granted a glance into this scene between these two women, one who gives birth to the prophet who says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And one who gives birth to the King of Kings who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God, would we be amazed at the way that You use moms. God, would we be overwhelmed with their songs today, their songs of gospel truth, their songs of your praise for being a victorious warrior over the serpent. Would we hear them today, not just with sentimentality, but would we be reminded that they are warriors among us who are stomping the demon to pieces? It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My grandmother, she can't sing a lick. Just want to get that out there after you hear my wife sing. My grandmother, that was not the case. She cannot sing a lick. And growing up, seated next to her just about every Sunday at church, hearing her lead me in Jesus Loves Me from a very young age, I remember her singing Amazing Grace after she would read the scriptures to me as a young child. Listening to her sing, to be honest with you, was one of the worst sounds in the world to me. She was really, she still is, really high-pitched. She's out of tone. Almost sounds kind of whiny when she sings. She actually sung in the choir at church, which was really odd to me. Now, how's this for a Mother's Day intro? And I'm certain I got my singing from her because I can't sing either. But now, on a Sunday morning, when I show up and sing some of the old hymns, even as we've sung today that I sung growing up, I hear those hymns in my grandmother's voice. I hear her singing some of these same old songs in my head. And it's a powerful voice. It is a powerful song to me. It is a powerful thing because it's more than just the whiny sound that I hear in my head. It's more than just the out-of-tune sound that I hear. It's the person that I remember who gave their life to teach me the gospel. Who every moment they could, she was reading the scripture to me. She was telling me about the gospel. And I can't hear her voice, even though growing up I may not have liked it. I can't hear that without being amazed at how God used her, a mom, a grandmother who worked a regular job, who struggled, didn't have a lot of money, but loved Jesus and taught me Jesus. That's what I hear when I hear her sing. A mother who loved the gospel and made sure that I would love the gospel. She wasn't perfect, but Sunday after Sunday, she was found in church declaring the truth of the gospel, even in song that may have sounded horrible at times. When we come to our text, we find another mother singing the truth of the gospel. We find this mother, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, and she fits into a long line of mothers that extends even today, extends even into our homes, extends even into these rooms, even into our children's ministry at this moment. Women who take the gospel and use that bond to fight back evil by investing the gospel into children. We hear Mary in a long line of mothers singing the truth of the gospel. In the Bible, motherhood is glorious. In the Bible, motherhood is warfare. Even amidst barrenness, even when there's difficulty, even when there are horrible things happening to children, there are these warriors who are standing up and fighting for the sake of children. And God looks on mothers and He declares them over and over blessed. In Genesis 3:15, the moments of sin and death enter the world, and God speaks this promise to the serpent. He says, "You have won this battle, but we are in a war. And the way that I will win this war is that there will be a child born of woman. It will be hard. It will be difficulty. There will be pain and suffering bringing life into the world. But there will come a child born who will smush your head in the ground. And so when we get to Genesis 4 and we see a child born, there's a reminder of hope. Eve even looks to Adam and says, look, God is doing what he said he would do. There is life in a world cursed with death. And we move throughout history, and every act of motherhood since is to remind us that God is fulfilling his promise. Every time a mom holds a child, we are to look upon that and say, God is doing what he said he would do. He has not left us without life in the world. Every late night, every prayer that you pray, even in agony for the soul of your children, every morning you get up and you prepare breakfast and you put their clothes together and you pack their bags for school, every act of motherhood is a declaration that God is fulfilling his promise in the world. God looks upon mothers and he says, you are blessed warriors. And here we find Mary in that long line of warriors. She's from this little town, this little tiny village of Nazareth, and she's bellowing out praise to God as if she's somebody. People would hear her and go, who in the world do you think you are? You are this little peasant hick girl. And by the way, she says she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Realize people didn't believe what she said. It was not as though virgin birth was common and people said, oh, okay, another one. You're right, that's true. No, people were whispering about her. People were, Joseph, her husband-to-be, saw her as a cheater. As an adulterer, he was going to divorce her. This wasn't an everyday occurrence. But we also have to remember that all of this happened inside a person and in the context of a person's life. Too often we hear these stories about Mary and we think she's just sort of a robot pod that held Jesus in her stomach for a little while. But she was a real person. She was a person who had to believe God's word. This has never happened before. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. And she had to step out by a radical faith and believe what God said. She had to raise this child believing not only was he the Savior of the world, he was her Savior. What faith that took. She was more than a robot, more than just a pod, more than just a figure in our Christmas plays that just stands over to the side and smiles. God paints a picture of her here as this warrior who is doing battle with the serpent by declaring the gospel. And notice she does it in a way that moms so often do. She sings. Notice in verse 46, this song of Mary. This is actually a fulfillment of the song of Hannah that we see in Samuel. This woman who was barren and she remembers and she cries out to the Lord and remembers and calls God to remember his promises. And here those promises are fulfilled in the womb of Mary. She's visiting Elizabeth as we just read. And there is the declaration that yes, in your womb is the Messiah. And Mary sings verse 46 and she says this, my soul magnifies the Lord. She says, who I am as a person makes God large, great. I put a magnifying glass on God. He is great. He is glory. You can look at my life and the way that I'm going to step out by faith is going to make his name great, not my name great. Notice she says, here's how she's going to do it. Verse 47, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. She glorifies God by looking to him and finding joy only in him as her deliverer. She says, look at my life. I'm going to trust not in myself. I'm going to trust in God as my Savior and deliverer. And in doing so, I'm not going to make myself large. My soul makes the Lord large. Notice verse 48. For he has looked upon the humble estate, the lowly situation of his servant. She refers to herself here as his servant, his slave. For behold, from now on, generations will call me blessed. Think about that. The situation, the scandal, the whispers around town about how she's delusional, about how she's crazy. And she says, no, this is something God has done. And I'm going to handle this by trusting in the Lord. Because yes, He has looked upon my situation in my humble estate. But for generations, I will be called blessed by what He is doing in my womb through this Messiah who will save His people from their sins. Mary admits, I'm a nobody. I'm a humble servant nobody. And yet out of God's sheer sovereign grace, we would be reading stories about her in Holy Scripture this very morning. She says, look at what God has done for me. And if you look at what God has done for me, you can't help but to see how great His name is. She takes a God-centered view of this whole situation, the difficulty of it, the suffering she would endure, the pain. Think about Mary watching Jesus die on the cross. Think about Mary who had raised Him, who loved Him as a mother, whose heart was bound to Him, watching Him die and declaring, this is God's glory. This is for the good of God's people. She takes a God-centered view of what is going on here, a God-centered view of her reputation. As we think about Mary, we are reminded that God uses ordinary people who have ordinary lives in very extraordinary ways. You may want to turn my mic up. But think for just a moment about who has made the most impact in your life. Think about politicians. Think about your teachers. Think about your coaches. Think about all the people in your life who have made the most impact. And we look out the world and we think, well, it's supposed to be those who have a lot of money. It's supposed to be those who have a name. It's supposed to be those who have power. And yet we always come back to the person who has influenced our life the most. For most of us, it's our mom. It's our mom. And actually, moms are the ones that influence those who have influence, by the way. And Mary reminds us, I'm nobody. I'm a humble servant of the Lord. And yet generations throughout history, I will have this glorious legacy because of what God has done for me. It's one reason I find it so tragic that motherhood is under attack in our culture. It's under attack. You realize there are people that say we should not have Mother's Day. It excludes those who aren't mothers. It excludes men. It excludes children. We are in a crazy, messed up world. And we have this whole idea, this gender inclusivism. And you know what that does to motherhood? That makes it meaningless. That makes it nothing. There is an attack on motherhood in our culture. That mothers hear things like, you're just a mom. I mean, you have all of these gifts. You have all of these abilities. You're so pretty. Why would you waste all of that on motherhood? Why would you waste your life on being a mom? And then you hear, you're just a mom? That is the voice of Satan in our culture. And to anyone who would say that, turn to them and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that is the lisp of the serpent, who wants you to believe you're a nobody, you're just a mom. Look at how hard and difficult motherhood is. You got vomit all over your shirt, all over your clothes. You got to change diapers. You are involved in the most difficult task. How could that mean anything? And it's the voice of the serpent. And what Mary says is, no, 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 no. This is what God does. God takes the most ordinary task, the most ordinary people in the world, and that's where His glory is so vividly seen. And Mary says, look at my humble estate. Well, I'm going to make the name of the Lord large. I'm a nobody. I'm going to make sure folks know that He is a somebody. And if you are a mother here today, remember that. You come in here and you're worn out and you're tired. Remember who God uses. God has given you this wonderful blessing, life in a world cursed with death, and He grants you this bond with your children to be leveraged for the sake of the gospel. Your hearts are knit together in such a way that God says, use that for the glory of the gospel. Pour the gospel into your child. Make the name of the Lord great as a mother. But notice, she declares the Lord's strength here. She says, for He is mighty and He has done great things for me. Now stop there. One of the reasons she's at Elizabeth's house, she's embarrassed. I got to go find some counseling for my cousin. I got to get away from this scandal. And now, as things are being processed, she's believing the word of God. She's seeing this confirmation. The prophet John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth is declaring from the womb, this is the Messiah. She turns around and she says, He's done great things for me. Amidst all the difficulty, and notice, holy is His name. His name, His fame is set apart. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. She says, even here in this situation, God is setting His name apart. He is making sure folks know He's the only one who is merciful. He's the only one who is faithful. He is the only one who is gracious. He is the only one who is mighty. God wants the world to stand back and look at Him and see all of His powerful attributes. And Mary says, He's using me to do that. Little old me, He's using me to set His name apart. God wants folks to know He's faithful, so He's faithful to me. God wants folks to know He's merciful, so He's merciful to me. And notice verse 51, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and rich He has sent away empty. To make His strength known, to make His power known, to make His grace known, to make His faithfulness known, He uses those who are weak. He uses those who are poor. He uses those who are hungry and have nothing. Ordinary, common folks like Mary. That's the way God wages war in the world. God never goes to the most mighty. He never goes to those who have all the money and trust in themselves and their might and their money. That's not who He goes to. He goes to those who know they have nothing apart from Him. He goes to those who taste and feel their weakness. That's why He says here, He talks about the poor. He talks about the hungry, the poor in spirit, those who are hungry for righteousness. He'll talk about in the Beatitudes. And His point here is the righteous can't be helped by me because they don't understand they need me. Those who are holding up their righteousness and saying, no, we're rich in righteousness. We're full. And no, God scatters them because they are proud. He wages war against them. God uses the weak to show He is strong. She literally says here, God is making the proud and the strong and the mighty. He's waging war. He's scattering them. He's humiliating them. He's making their wisdom look stupid because He uses people like me. And the point here is, if you are unwilling to see your weakness and your foolishness, you're at war with God. You realize that? Some of us like to hold up our strength to God. Say, God, look at all I can do for You. Some of us like to hold up our righteousness to God. God, look at what all I have done for You. And when you do that, you're at war with God. Because God wants you to say, no, I am weak. I can't do this on my own. And I have no righteousness to offer You. Even as we've sung over and over today, the only righteousness I have is Christ. I don't have any righteousness of my own. And when you hold up your own righteousness, God scatters you. He pushes you away. This is why the virgin birth is such an assault on our pride. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we just talk about the virgin birth and it's just this thing we set over here and it's in our theology books and it's something we have to believe because everything works out right if Mary's a virgin. But what God is doing in the virgin birth is He's assaulting your pride. He's saying He had to step in human history and stop what was going on with sin and death. And this child conceived in the womb of Mary is the only one who never was born with a sin nature. He was born 100% man, 100% God, and He was sinless. God had to, in this moment in human history, step in and do something no one else could do. No one else could do anything about their sin. He intervenes here, and Mary is beginning to see it. One of the most amazing things about all of this is Mary steps back and says, I'm going to give birth to this child. I'm going to nurse this child. I'm going to change his diapers. I'm going to clean the scrapes on his knees. Even though he's sinless, there are things he's going to have to learn how to live in the world. I'm going to train him in certain ways. I'm going to care for him. But notice what she is declaring. In him, she is being delivered. Even though she will give birth to this child, she says, this is the way God is delivering me. God, in the birth of her son, is doing something she couldn't do. Mary was a sinner. Mary deserved God's judgment. Mary deserved the wrath of God. And yet here she looks upon Christ as her only hope. And the point is, if Mary must do so, you must do so. If the mother of Jesus Christ must look to Him as her only hope, so must you. And if you can't humble yourself to that fact, you're at war with God. You're at war with God until you bow your knee and you say, I'm weak, I'm foolish, and I'm sinful, and I need Christ. I need the Messiah. I need the one that Mary is declaring here is her only hope. Moms, you need to remember that today. You need to be okay with being weak. You need to be okay with that. You come in here and you're tired and you're frazzled and you're weak. I had a conversation with my wife last night. She said, it's not going to change for a while. That's just life. And I'm willing to do it for the sake of our kids. It's not going to change. You're tired, you're weak, you're frazzled. Some of you come in here and you're discontent. Some of you yelled at your kids today on Mother's Day. You yelled at them. They gave you a rose and then they spilt milk all over the table. What are you doing? Oh, it's Mother's Day. I'm supposed to be nice, I'm supposed to be pretty. I'm supposed to be happy, I'm supposed to have it together. But you ruined my Mother's Day dress. And you come in here and you feel like a failure. You feel like a failure. There will not be one day the rest of your life as a mother where that will not be the case. Because guess what? You are. You are. God's not looking for you to be the best mom in the world. He's not looking to you to have it all together. He's not looking to you to have all of the problems solved. The best moms are those who realize they're not the best moms. And they tell their kids, don't look to me, don't look to me, don't look to me, look to Jesus. I'm not strong, Jesus is strong. I don't have it together, Jesus has it together. And that's what God wants from you, and that's what your kids need from you. That's what they need, and they're going to look back on that and say, hey, my mom, she got on my nerves a lot. Me and my mom, we fought all the time. She wouldn't let me do a lot of things I wanted to do. She let me do some things I shouldn't have done. She wasn't perfect. But one thing she got right. She loved Jesus. She loved Jesus. You can give your kids the whole world and send them to hell. The best moms point their kids to Jesus, which is what Mary is doing here. I just want to warn you of one thing. Moms, don't make motherhood an idol. Somebody says, it's not an idol to me. I don't know that I enjoy it that much calling it an idol. But idol worship doesn't mean you really enjoy the idol you worship sometimes. It just means you look to it for all your hope and all your identity. And some of you have made motherhood an idol. You think if you're a good mom, God likes you more. Think if you're a bad mom, God's mad at you. That's not the truth of the gospel. Jesus has been strong for you. Jesus has done something you could never do. He died on the cross for your sins. He was raised from the dead, and He gives you His kingdom. That's where your identity is, not being in a good, bad, or indifferent mom, but in Jesus. Give your kids Jesus. Look to Jesus. You can't save yourself. You can't save your kids. Only Jesus can. But notice here in the last few verses we're going to look at, she points to the promise of God. This is what God is doing in the world. He has helped His servant Israel. Notice how the song transitions from Mary talking about what God is doing through her to what He is doing in Israel. This long history of God being faithful, of God declaring His promises. And here they're coming to fruition. Notice she says, He's remembering His mercy. He's remembering His faithfulness. He's remembering what He said He would do through our fathers Abraham and his offspring forever. He's remembering everything He said. That's what's happening here. Is God is proving Himself faithful. God keeps His word. That's who God is. We go back to Moses who's asking God, who in the world are you? When I go tell these people that they're being delivered, what's your name? And he says, I am who I am, which literally means I do everything I say I do. And that's what Mary is saying here. You do everything you say you would do. Moms, you don't do everything you say you would do, but God does. Point your kids to Christ. Point your kids to this promise that is fulfilled, this word that is coming to fruition here. Notice Mary doesn't all of a sudden become the center of the story. That this story began in eternity past, and she says, I am just playing a role here. I wonder if that's the way you look at your life. Or are you the center of the story? If you make yourself the center of the story, you're always going to be miserable. Because you're not the hero. God's the hero. And we can look at Mary and we can honor her and we can lift her up to the extent that she points us to Jesus. And that's what she says do here. Don't look to me. Look at what God is doing in human history. Look at what God is doing through me. He fulfills His promise in Christ. Not in me, but in Christ He fulfills His promise. This ancient warfare is being brought to victory through God's word that is being fulfilled in me. And I wonder if that's the way you see your life. You're just another character in the story who's bringing glory to the centerpiece, to the main character of the story, who is Jesus. If Mary had to do that, so do you. If Mary was happy doing that, so do you. Are you ever just amazed that you get to be a part of this? I mean, we're sitting in a building today, we can barely hear one another because of the rain. We go, oh, this is glorious! Get to be a part of the church. I get to gather here and sing the gospel, the promise of God being fulfilled in Christ. I get to sing about it. I get to taste it. I get to feel it. I get to be reminded of it. I get to take it out into the world to other people. I'm just a part. Just one person in all. Are you amazed by that God lets you in? Or are you sort of frustrated that He doesn't bring you in and say, now it's all about you? All these gifts, all these abilities, who you are, how you were raised. Mary doesn't do that. You can't do that. She points to Christ. God uses this ordinary, common, peasant girl from a hick village to fulfill His promise. And He uses the same kind of folks all around this room. Praying next to bedsides, memorizing scripture in Awana, in VBS, and singing out of tune at church. Common, ordinary folks who remind us of the gospel. Your legacy must be the legacy of the promise. You know, some of you understand how difficult and common motherhood is today. We want to be candid. We want to be real about this. Some of us gather in here and you miss your mom terribly. This is a hard day for you because you miss your mom. Some of you want to be moms, and it just hasn't happened yet. And you gather here and we talk about motherhood and we talk about babies and we hold them up and we say, oh, this is great. And it makes you angry. That's real and that's true. Motherhood and everything associated with it is hard and difficult. There are mothers in here today who have lost children even in the last few months. Some of you are discontent with motherhood. You gather in here and it's hard and it's difficult. Some of you feel you're inadequate as a mom. And as we peer into the life of Mary, we say, yes, all of that is true. It's hard and it's difficult and it's painful because sin and death exist in the world. But we should leave here today being reminded, even in the messiness of it all, God is still working. God is still fulfilling His promise. Through the good, the bad, the ugly, God is the one who is mighty. God is the one who is powerful. And so even in the pain and suffering, what He's saying is, look to me, I'm the hero.